It was a gray area. That's all anyone could agree on, the politicians and the lawyers and the military people. The current situation was a gray area. The war in Europe hadn't yet broken out when the first shipment of Springfield rifles, 12,000 of them in fact, had left the port of New York bound for England. They were due in Bristol in just a day or two. The second shipment of 11,000 rifles was loaded onto a ship still moored in New York Harbor on August 4th, when England declared war on Germany. A timely phone call from the British consul in Manhattan to the harbor master saw the freighter's hawse lines pulled from the pier moments before the declaration was announced. She was technically not in port when the war became official, so she wasn't violating America's strict neutrality. She'd steamed down the East River a short time later on her run to England. The third consignment, 6,000 desperately needed rifles, was where things became sticky, legally speaking. They had been purchased by the British government in the months since Archduke Ferdinand's assassination in Serbia, but before England had actually entered the war. Now that war had been declared, the guns were currently sitting in the Winchester Arms Factory in New Haven, Connecticut, and subject to a U.S. military oversight. Current exportation laws meant that them leaving U.S. soil was a direct violation of America's vow to stay out of the latest European war. Joseph Van Dorn himself had devised the workaround. His firm, the Van Dorn Detective Agency, had been hired by the British government to oversee security for the operation, so Joseph was aware of the looming legal problem and had a plan to sidestep the intent of the law, if not its letter. England had purchased the guns from the United States government, and they were to have been shipped by rail from the Springfield Armory in western Massachusetts straight to New York. But as the situation in Europe rapidly deteriorated, concern grew that the weapons wouldn't make it out of the country on time, and would then languish in some warehouse for the duration of the war. Van Dorn's 11th-hour suggestion was that the English reject the rifles in all three batches, and that Winchester Arms buy those same surplus guns. The sale needed to take place before the war's declaration. That date was a closely guarded secret, so the deal went through on July 28th. Winchester Arms, a duly licensed manufacturer and exporter of all manner of weapons, then sold those three batches of Springfield rifles back to the British government. Again, that sale took place before the declaration, so it wouldn't violate America's promise to favor nor aid either side in the war. To further the ruse, the rifles went from the Springfield Armory to Winchester's factory, where they were pulled from their Army-issue crates and loaded into wooden chests, stamped with the Winchester name and logo. The first two shipments made it out of the country on time. The holdup with the third group came when plain-clothed Canadian Mounties, His Majesty's representatives in North America, along with their armorer, found fault in several dozen five-rifle crates, causing the inspection and selection of guns to take far longer than expected. Today was August 6th. The war for England was 2 days old, and their guns remained on American soil. To make matters worse, because so many people in Washington had been hastily consulted on the legalities, the German ambassador had learned of the deal and had already lodged a complaint with the War Department. A reply was being drafted explaining to His Excellency that the U.S. government did not involve itself in private sales made during times of peace and viewed the transaction as permissible under current law. Despite the certainty in that pronouncement, it remained a gray area.